The Prestige Jayco pre-game interview.
We have got the Melbourne Football Club CEO Gary Peart in with us. Gary, welcome to the K-Rock box. Obviously, the Demons today certainly looking forward to a big match and hoping Jesse Hogan doesn't kick 10 goals. Is that right?
Well, thanks, Ian. Yeah, well, it's one of those ones. I mean, I think there's probably a bit of talk about how it'll go between Hogan and May. I would suggest that's largely supporters and media talking about that. I think Hogan's really looking at just entrenching himself into a new team, and clearly Stephen May's just trying to start his season and fit in at Melbourne. So I think they'll be pretty focused on their roles today.
You talked about Stephen May. Obviously, the inclusion of him back into the lineup, but the start should obviously Lever brings as well. It hasn't been easy for the Demons so far, but some key inclusions.
Yeah, it's actually been a really tough year because at the start of the season, the footy department spoke to myself and the board and said, you know, with 14 operations, most of them to key players, it's going to be a difficult start. It's probably going to be a slow start. When we get those players back, including Lever, we'll build the momentum. And what's happened is those players, many of them have taken longer. Others have come back and we'll get two players back and lose three players in the same game. So it's really thrown the dynamic off of our lineup, especially in the back line where we've lost those players, and it's really had an impact and made it difficult every week.
No doubt about that, Purdy. A lot of teams have injuries, and I know you're not an excuse maker. It's a fact Melbourne have had a lot of injuries. Just for our listeners, first of all, been a bit of talk this week about how bad Jake Lever is. Can you update us? I know you're not the medical person, but are we talking 2 weeks? Are we talking a month?
Well, it was a contact injury, so there's no ligament damage at all. All it is a bruise to the bone, which is very painful, and he struggled to play out the game once he had that hit. But there's no damage. We'd expect it to be a week two at the most, but the best thing is there's no structural damage. But I think you guys would know, any time you have a player out for such a long time with a knee injury, as soon as he gets a bit of a limp, we all start thinking worst-case scenario, but this is a one- or two-weeker.
Obviously, a lot of structural changes in the coaching staff and footy department this week. It's probably got two or three questions out of it. But the one, and we don't shy away from the fact that Brendan McCartney is one of our favourites on K-Rock with the Geelong connection. And it appears on the surface, Purdy, that he's been moved very much sideways. That's part one. But the structural change, was it Josh Marnie's decision that we needed to shake up the footy department?
No, we always intended to take the mid-season break and the week off as a period. So we spent a couple of weeks talking to the players, talking to the coaches, the entire footy staff to say, we got 10 weeks to go. What do we need to do to get the best out of that 10 weeks and improve? So it was everyone was involved in that. It wasn't one person driving. A lot of the conversations were with groups of coaches, groups of players, the leadership group involved. So really it was a whole footy program review, if you like. And clearly what came out of it is these are the things that are going to make us better for the next 10 weeks based on the circumstances we're in. And one of those, and this is where the second part of the question is around Brendan McCartney, is Brendan and the other coaches. So pretty well every coaching role has had a minor or major shift in it. And every single coach, this was a great thing, said, tell me what I need to do to make us better for the last 10 weeks. And I haven't heard a single negative thing about Macca from internal. So Goody's telling me that he loves working with Macca. Mackie loves to tell he's working with Goody. The internally, these conversations aren't being had. Now, I can hear it on radio and I read it in the paper about these issues, and maybe that's what happens because you're near the bottom of the ladder. But internally, Macca is very, very good at mentoring young players and the young coaches, and we need that alignment at the moment between the VFL program and the AFL program, because so many of our players, because of the injuries, are actually having to come into the senior side and hit the ground running in key roles. And Macca's the best person to do that. So he didn't spend 1 minute saying, how does this go for me? It was all about, what do we need to do for the last 10 weeks?
I know Pete's got a couple to fire, but just my last one in that bracket then. Jade Rawlings, who I think is highly respected by people in the industry, he's already had a little crack. He was coaching the Casey Demons. He now steps into the AFL side. So that is a significant move internally, that what you just said, the transition between VFL to AFL, the VFL coach now becomes an AFL forwards coach, I think he's going to be.
Yeah, and a key one for us, because I think what we've seen this year, that even when we've had difficult games, we've been getting it into the forward line enough times to win. Games like against West Coast and Adelaide, where we've won basically every statistic except on the scoreboard. And this is where Jade's going to play a role. He's got a great relationship with the players. He'll hit the ground running. It's about getting the ball into the forward line and actually getting that efficiency, getting the scoring happening. And as you said, he's highly respected by the players and the coaches. And the great thing is he'll be able to hit the ground running and hopefully make a real difference.
The voice you're listening to is Melbourne CEO, former Lion and Magpie as well, Gary Peart. Thanks to Prestige Jayco. Here's Pete Ryan from The Age.
Gary, you'd concede it's highly unusual to change the coaching structure in such a way mid-season. When did it first get broached and who was really driving that change?
Well, as I said, we were always going to, at the midway point, have a look at the program, what's working well and what needed to be changed. It wasn't really one person. It was just an agreeance that we would get together and we would pull the players and the leadership group together, the coaches. We'd take the feedback. So, you know, Josh Marnie's obviously got to be someone that's a key driver and own the outcome. I was certainly kept across of all the conversations and the players were involved in it. Like I said, all the staff were. And at this point now, it's exactly what we've needed. Now, I hope we see it out on the ground, but it certainly energised the players and the clubs to say, let's set ourselves for the last 10 weeks. I know it might appear to be unusual, but the way we looked at it was we weren't going to be sitting back doing the same and expecting a different outcome. And a lot of the things we're going to be doing on field and off field are things that we can consider to go, how is this going to roll into next year and make us better moving forward, because you know, that's where we're at as a group. We're a young player group and we see for the next 4 or 5 years we've got a really exciting outcome, and it's been really difficult this year putting our best team out on the field, but we're certainly looking at this as sort of a ongoing process.
Can you give us an example of the questions you asked the players and some of the feedback they gave?
Yeah, it's pretty simple. Is tell us what from what we've learnt and where we're at now, forget where hypothetically we wanted to be or we thought we'd be at the start of the year, where we are right now, what do we need to do? It was pretty open-ended. What do we need to do to get better and get the most, get everything out of the last 10 weeks? And that went on and off the field. We asked the players specifically, what can you do? Do about it individually and as a player group, and then off field the coaches and staff did exactly the same thing. So it was very open-ended to go, whether it's major shifts or little one percenters, this is what we're going to do.
You've also reviewed the fitness and conditioning structure and so on. Is that an admission they got that wrong in terms of the fact that they had so many players out with operations? You've had such an lack of availability in the early part of the season. Dave Misson's obviously moving to Canada with his family. Yeah. Do you concede that you might have got that wrong?
No, that wasn't part of the conversation. David Misson, as we know, right at the start of the season, he's going and his wife's got a great job in Canada and they've got great plans ahead. All it was a matter of going, as we're talking about what things might look like when David leaves, part of this review was to go, is it the opportunity to make some of those changes? And part of what David's going to do now is not do as much of the day-to-day elements, still oversee it, but what we want him to do, because he's IP of our program over the last 10 years, we want him to be documenting that, reviewing it, establishing best practice. Once he's gone, he's gone. So we want him to be putting that together, so again that we can look at the people and the structures and how we're going to move forward, so that we can hit the ground running again for next year. So it certainly wasn't an admission of getting it wrong. It's quite the opposite, to go, how do we move forward in the best shape?
Just on the fitness side of things, there have been a few reports this week linking you with former Arsenal fitness boss Darren Burgess. Where are you on the chase for a high performance manager, and is Darren someone that you've looked at already?
I know him, Goody knows him, you know, quite a few of our people, and the one thing we know is he's an amazing talent and he's had great success, and anyone that fits that bill we'll be wanting to chat to. So we'll be throwing the net externally, and we'll be exploring all the internal options as well. But he's certainly been very impressive, all the roles that he's played with some, very successful teams. So we'd love to have him in the mix when we're having conversations. And as that unfolds, we'll keep our supporters across it.
Just another off-field one, the location of the new training base. Is there an update on that? Because it's certainly been a lengthy process so far.
Yeah, it has been a lengthy process. And in some ways, because we're looking to create the base in this inner Melbourne sports precinct that we're sitting in right now, there's a lot of stakeholders we need to include in those conversations, and that's exactly what's happening at the moment. So we're dealing with the state government, we're dealing with all the bodies that have a vested interest around here, and we're trying to move things as quickly as possible. There's no doubt that we're, of the 18 clubs, we're the only club that doesn't actually have a home base, administration and footy department, a high performance centre. Many of the clubs now are onto their fourth, fifth, sixth developments, and spending $50, $60, $100 million. So if we're going to be competitive, we've got to be driving this. We've got to set something up. Got to keep in mind that we're the oldest professional sporting club in the world, and we help start this game and shape it, and it's really important that we look and feel at the levels of all the other clubs too. So that's certainly my number one focus.
Is the Yarra Park option still on the table in terms of that back corner near the railway?
In the options we're looking at, I don't see how we're ever going to get an oval that would be at professional standards there. So, in effect, that would eliminate it, because when you look at a high-performance centre, the size and quality of the oval will always be your number one consideration. And I don't think that is a possibility, no matter how you look at it. So that's how I would view it.
I parked in the Ford Pocket out there today, up near the railway. It was a bit slippery underfoot, to be honest.
If we had an oval out there, I reckon you'd still park in the Ford Pocket. That's exactly the problem.
We're talking a lot of, not negatives, Purdy, but as you said, towards the bottom of the ladder, you're going to have to answer all these questions. I've called Melbourne a fair bit this year. I've been shocked on field at the drop-off in skill level and the amount of turnovers the side is doing. And I'm sure, once again, it's not exactly your domain, but you're a footballer and you know the game inside out. What do you put that down to? Because I would assume everyone's training at an extremely high level, but the skill level has really dropped off for Melbourne this year.
Yeah, and I think there's a couple of factors in there. One of them is whenever you're bringing a lot of players in, and we're bringing them in twos and threes and coming from the VFL, and arguably some of those players, very talented, but they would probably be playing another year or so in the VFL rather than being out on the MCG in front of, playing guys against opponents from Collingwood or GWS who are some of the best players in the competition. So they haven't had time to develop. But I think there's also an element of confidence. Once you're playing well and everyone's playing well, you get that momentum and everything starts to click. And when it's hard work, and we've certainly seen quarters like that, we'll play a magnificent quarter and we go, great, that's what we've been waiting to see. And then the next quarter, the confidence goes and they go back into their shell. Again, they start to second guess, and then all of a sudden, instead of being the best version of ourselves, we're the worst. So, Goody's not getting out there saying that it's all going to plan, quite the opposite. With the changes, one of the things I've noticed quite a bit in our backline when we've had so many changes there, you're playing beside guys in some cases you've never played beside before. And that's unsettling because of the lack of predictability. So we're excited about, for example, Steve May coming back into the team and Jake Lever settling into the team. These are guys that basically all the other players around them have basically played none or very little footy beside. And while it's exciting for the future, the best teams that are in the top four right at the moment have got a consistent back line that's predictable. They know how each other plays and they just make it look easy. And to be quite honest, we're just not at that point right at the moment.
What would you be doing in the back line? I hosted a function for the Lions yesterday with a couple of your teammates, Richard Osborne and Laurie Serafini. There was some wonderful vision of the number three for Fitzroy in the ruck. What were you doing in the ruck?
In the ruck?
He was playing in the ruck. I mean, there'd be Melbourne players that wouldn't even recognise the fact that you've played the game. I mean, what would you be doing out there right now?
Picking up Purdy's, man. quick up Roosie's quick man, first of all.
If I was playing in the back line now, I would. I'd be playing on
Roosie's man. Man and his own.
Who would have had 40 touches running up onto the wing, and I'd be playing on two blokes in the back line. That's what I'd be doing. I did that for 150 games.
I imagine the ruck must have been a scary character, and Matt Rendell just sent you in, the young pup, to have a crack.
Well, again, Matty, it didn't take much for Matty to be injured and be sitting on the boundary line. And then, of course, no one else would want to put their hand up for ruck, so I must have got sacrificed.
You need to go and show them those tapes inside the Melbourne Football Club, I would think.
No, I think that'd be quite boring. It's sort of nearly like a life that long ago that, it certainly doesn't come up in conversation.
Purdy, appreciate your time. Gary Peart there joining us for Prestige Jayco for the pre-match interview. 2019 could be the year that you jump into a Jayco. Good luck to the Demons this afternoon.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Purdy.
The Prestige Jayco pre-game interview.